Good evening and a warm welcome to our evening service here at Romford Baptist Church. My name is Vicky. I'm one of the ministers here. And one of the other ministers, Ian, will be coming to share God's word with us later this in the service. Our theme tonight is how do we treat God? And we're going to start by being reminded of the words from Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. In our relationships with one another, we need to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. How do we treat God? We should be treating him as we see there, that he, Jesus, is Lord, that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and who sent, as his Father sent the Son to the earth for us. God deserves our honour and our praise, because it's at the name of Jesus that every knee should bow in heaven and on earth. And we're going to be reminded of that as we sing our first song tonight. Let's give God the honour due his name. Psalm 20, verses 6 to 9 say, "Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king and answer us when we call." Are you able to declare that this evening? Are you able to declare that he is the Lord our God, that we can trust in him, that he will lift us up, that he will hold us and enable us to stand firm no matter what we are facing? Let's think about that as we come to pray. Let us pray. Father God, we do indeed pray that you will have the victory. We know that when we cry out to you, you always hear our voice. You answer us from your heavenly sanctuary, and you have all power at your disposal. Father God, we pray that as people here in this world, people who are struggling with all that they are facing, people who are your children, who have so much to be thankful for, but Lord, can sometimes find it hard to say thank you. Lord, we pray this evening that we will indeed be able to declare you as Lord in our lives, that we will bow our knees before you, that we will claim you and the victory that we can have in you. And we pray that, Lord God, as we come before you, we can acknowledge the amazing, wonderful might and the love that comes from you. We do trust you. Lord, help us to trust you more. Amen. That passage reminds us that all are brought to our knees and we fall, because God has all power. That's what it said in our first reading. All heaven and earth fall at his name. We continue to sing, above all powers. And so with the reminder about the church meeting this coming Wednesday, we are reminded that as we look to what the future may be for us here at the church, that God has so much that he may want us to do, but we can't do any of that without the ability of our finances to enable us to do it. And so we thank you for your continued faithfulness, your continued promise as we give week by week, that as we give from our little or our great, from our hearts and from our pockets, that we are grateful to you and to all that God will do with this offering. Let's come now and pray. Father God, we thank you for the way that we continue to give. Lord, we recognize that we would much rather be doing it here in the building week by week. But Lord, for each and every person who has given, who's given out of what they have, who's given of their time and also of their heart and also financially, Father God, in all that we offer to you, we may pray that it will be used not just here in this place, not just for ministry, but Lord, across our world, across with our mission partners and in so many different areas that you can use these gifts. Lord, help us, particularly as we come on Wednesday evening to gather as a church membership. Lord, help us in the decisions that we make, we pray. Bless us. Amen.
Hello everybody, I'm here to tell you about our church members meeting that we are going to be holding on Wednesday the 30th of September at 7:45. Obviously due to COVID restrictions, we've not had a church members meeting for quite some time, so we are going to be holding this in two ways, via Zoom and in person. The Charity Commission have given the go-ahead that this is an acceptable way at this current time. So we would ask that if you are able to join via Zoom, the details will be available on the notice sheet coming up. So please do join via Zoom. For those of you who are unable to do that, you can book a place in the church the same way that you book for a service either on Wednesday or Sundays. The numbers and the email address will be coming up on the screen. So please do that. But places are limited. So this is really primarily for only for people who cannot join online. Due to COVID restrictions, we do want to keep the meeting to minimum as possible because there will be people in the building together. So we're going to limit this to approximately 1 hour. Because of this, we do need questions that would be asked in a church meeting in advance. If they could be sent to the church office, and the deadline for that is Monday, the 28th of September, so that we have time to process the questions and to have the relevant information to answer for that. If you have any apologies that you're unable to attend the meeting either via Zoom or in person, please again, can you let the church office know? Thank you for joining us through a different way. If you do have any questions, please do contact the church office. Thank you.
During the month of September and October, we would often have had our harvest, and this year we can't do it in the way that we would do ordinarily. But tonight I thought it would be really appropriate if we can just think about our world as we come to a time of prayer, recognizing that across our world there are many who have plenty, there are many who have little. But actually, the responsibility for all of us is about the way that we share what we have with those that we don't have, and to also think about the responsibility to the world in which we live. And so as we come to prayer, we're going to particularly be focusing in on our world. Let us pray. Using some prayers that are from Tradecraft, we start with these words: as we boil our kettle and prepare our brew, make us mindful of those whose livelihoods depend on us. The farmers, the planters, the pickers, the packers, the dealers and the merchants, the transporters, the blenders, the shop assistants and the supermarket owners. Let it be for us a matter of simple justice in the way that we shop, and potentially by choosing to fairly trade and to be recognising all that we need to do when we buy the things that we stock on our shelves. Help us to think about the costs that there is on others when we fail to buy products that are looking after the workers that are having to live hand by mouth. A simple cup of tea, a simple cup of coffee, something that so many of us take for granted but have little thought about those who are involved in the process. Father God, for those who seek to stand up for justice in for and each of those people involved, Father God, we pray a blessing on them. We pray a blessing on ourselves too, that when we make decisions about what to buy, we will think more about the consequences of our actions. We think particularly of those who are involved in the whole tea and coffee process, those in China and Sri Lanka and India, in Kenya and Malawi and Indonesia, for those coffee-growing countries in Africa and South America, for those countries across our world who the workforce are paid so little to enable us to have our cup of coffee and our cup of tea. Father God, forgive us when we are thoughtless, and we pray for those who are seeking to make a difference in the lives of each one of the workers that are involved in giving us our basic drink day by day. We think particularly of the organisations who work tirelessly to achieve trading justice, for the security that comes having a fair trade certification, for the world's poorest producers who need to know that we are remembering them in prayer. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be less thoughtless and more thoughtful. And Lord, as we think just about tea and coffee, Lord, we also think about the food that we put into our mouths. We know that you have built and created a wonderful, beautiful world, a world which you love, a world that you care about, and yet it's a world where the people in it, people including ourselves, who are thoughtless in our actions, who are selfish, who don't take the trouble to think about the rubbish that we are getting rid of, or where it will end up, or the damage it may do in our oceans and in our world and for our animals, who think nothing of just pouring something into a pan that's had a devastating impact in another part of the world that we see little of. Forgive us for our Western consumerism. Forgive us that we aren't thinking about those who have no voice. Forgive us when we don't think about the effects of our spending habits or the consequences of the decisions we make when we go shopping. Forgive us when we damage your world, your creation, by our thoughtlessness. Lord, we think about those brothers and sisters that we know in the world who are working in charities to stand up against the sweatshops where people who are making our clothes have no rights and no responsibilities. We thank you for the work of BMS and the work of so many other charities that are seeking to make a difference. Lord, as we look to them, we look also to ourselves. And we pray for your forgiveness. And as we thought about our world and we thought about some of the choices and the decisions we make, we think about those that we know. Those who we can see on our notice sheet. Those who are grieving. Lord, draw close to them, we pray. Give them your comfort and your peace. For those who are marking the anniversary of the loss of a loved one, Lord, draw close to them, we pray at this time. For those who are facing uncertainty because of their health, Lord, in their worry, may they know your presence with them. In their waking hours, Lord, calm their spirits, we pray. We pray for those who are undergoing treatment, those who are waiting still for treatment to take place, for those who are on waiting lists and wondering what and when the operations and the appointments will come through. Father God, it is hard to wait, but Lord, you encourage us to be still. Help us, Lord, to be still and to trust you. And Lord, for those who we hold dear in our hearts, Lord, we name them now before you and ask that you be with them. And we come before you knowing that you hear and knowing that you care. Thank you for caring for each and every one of us. Amen. Our Bible passage for this evening is taken from Malachi chapter 3. It says this: I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to you to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers and adulterers and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. May God give us understanding in this word, and as Ian shares it with us shortly. But before we do that, we're going to sing again, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I Will Trust."
As we preach through a book of the Bible, as we're doing with the book of Malachi at the moment in our evening services, you come to those verses that you would rather just miss and jump across and not focus in. And today is one of those days in Malachi. As we look at the book of Malachi in chapter 3, we see there one of those statements that we think, what is going on here? And I know as a preacher and a pastor that actually whenever I preach about money and giving, it's the one that I get most complaints about. So if you want to complain, I could put the contact details up, but I'm not going to. You see, often money and church struggle to go together. And look, there are the abuses of power where money is concerned. And churches throughout the world have so often abused people's finances by demanding they give. As I look through this, I want to look at the biblical principles for giving. And I want us to just wrestle with what it's saying and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us and to explore it in that way. Yes, it's a sensitive subject, and often it's said that the church is a money grabber. All they talk about is money. Well, if you hold this concept, I hope you don't put anything in the offering or online, because that is not our heart. Our heart as a church, as we discuss in church meeting, is to use the resources God has given us to reach the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this passage today, I want to look at it in the terms of giving is a privilege to the believer. It's actually a privilege. The temptation to cross over this text and to look at something else was so great, but I believe God was wanting to speak into our lives as we look at this. I wonder if you can imagine an article in one of the national papers which says 200 people from one church rob God, steal from God. And the article goes on, this has been systematic over a period of time, and we don't know what the amount of the losses are, but we know God has been robbed. Well, if you look at Malachi chapter 3, we see that phrase that we are robbing God. Verse 8, will a mere mortal rob God, but yet you rob me? Well, I want to use the letters of rob, R-O-B, to just look at this again and hopefully with fresh eyes. And for the R, I want to look at the word resist. Verse 8, will a man rob God? And the verse goes on, but you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. The sense that we have stopped giving to God that which God has asked of us. Maybe we think the thought of robbing a bank is shocking, and you know, when somebody is robbed, we look up in gasp. Yet some of us who are focused on that often forget that we have an obligation to our Lord. This obligation goes right back to the beginning of time, to the first harvest, to Genesis. And in Leviticus, it says in 27:30, every tenth of the land's produce, grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. How can a man rob God? Well, it's that word resist. Remember R for resist. We resist giving to God. We resist trusting God with what we have. We resist giving our first fruits. It's by taking from God. We want to take all the blessings from God. Yes, Lord, bless me, help me, heal me, forgive me. Yet we fail to give something in return. We want the good parts of the Bible, which is about what we get, but we don't want the bad parts that what we will need to put in. Yet it's a contract of two sides. And we owe so much to God. We owe him for our health and our life, our strength, and every good and perfect gift that God has given to us. Yet we resist giving to God in return. Those of us who have been parents or are parents know what it is when our children constantly want to have more and more, yet don't want to give back. Of course, what we don't look for them to repay us what we have put for them. They probably never can, any more than we can give back to God anything near what he has given to us. It's about that heart giving to God. Yet we resist even giving a bit. We want to hold on tight to all the good things we have, hold on tight to every bit of wealth we have, hold on tight to every possession we have, hold on tight to all our resources. Yet God just says, give me. And we're resisting it. In the Old Testament, the tithes and offerings, the tithe was the first 10%. It was first mentioned to Abraham, and Jacob entered into a covenant with God, and the people of God were called to give to God the first fruits, the tithe. How much more have we got when we think about salvation and life and surety? Yet we resist. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 talks about offer your everyday life, your whole life, and bring it to God as an act of offering. And today I want to challenge us to bring all that we have back to God as an offering. Give him our lives, give him our possessions, our home, our money. Offer it to God and say, God, what would you like me to do with what you have blessed me with? And yes, in our offerings, give to God our offerings. Let's stop resisting what we give to God and see what God can do. Which brings us on to our second letter, the letter O. O for opportunity. It has been known that occasionally I will take Vicky out for a meal. It's not very often, mainly because I'm so fussy about what I can eat, and Vicky's cooking is better than anything you can buy in a restaurant. But occasionally we go out for a meal, and you know those occasions when you go out for a meal and you have amazing service from a waiter who is just really great at their job. And she or he will just be that sort of wanting to serve you, and they do it so well. And at the end you think, I want to thank this person because they have made this meal even more enjoyable by the way they have cared for us, served us, given us space, and also brought the food in good time. And so you think, I want to tip them. And in one way, it's the heart of a reaction for something that good that has happened to us. When something good's happened to us, we want to respond with thanksgiving. We have an opportunity. And so therefore, at the end of the meal, alongside paying the bill, you might put a tip in and to say thank you. It's a sign of showing your blessing upon that person because you have been blessed. In the same way, our giving to God is a heart reaction for what God has done for us. It's not a chore. It's not about a commandment. It's about recognizing what God has done for us and freely giving back to God. It's an opportunity. Have we shown enough gratitude to God for what God's done for us? Have we? Have we shown enough gratitude for God to God? You see, giving is not a chore. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Let me just be clear about this. God does not need your money. God is not poor or broke. He owns the capital of 1,000 hills, says the scriptures. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. He created all the gold we have on earth. And who knows what's out there, and he may have come and created whole solid gold planets. At least he could do if he wanted to. God doesn't need our money. The idea that God needs is foolish, but God is giving us an opportunity to invest in his kingdom, an investment in what God is doing, an investment that pays throughout a whole of our lives, and it's an opportunity to respond to what God has been doing in our lives. How blessed are we that God seeks to partner with us in his work in the world. Here at RBC, of course, you know that all the life of this church totally depends upon the giving of God's people. If people don't give, the church can't continue to operate. And this has been so since the New Testament times, that churches rely upon the giving of God's people. The giving of RBC, though, makes a huge difference. You see, it's through the giving that the ministry of the church, the preaching of the word, and the broadcasting service is enabled to happen. It's through the giving that we are able to keep the buildings and keep the maintenance done and keep them going. It's through giving that we're able to do local mission like the meeting place, the food banks, outreach, mental health support, supporting of people with adoptions and all sorts of other ministries. Our youth and children's work, our whole ministries of care come because we have giving. It's through the giving we enable discipleship to happen. We can support generously the work of BMS World Mission, particularly their work in Bangladesh and also an Eastern Asian country I cannot mention online. It's through the giving in the church that we're able to continue to support Andy and Rihanna in their mission work in Moldova, and to continue to support Baptist Home Mission that enables local churches in poor areas to continue. It's through our giving that we're able to support Grace Works, the schools ministry, going into the local schools and talking about Jesus. Supporting the work of Church 123, which is Rich Shorter working with the disadvantaged on Harold Hill. It's through the giving to the church that pastoral gifts can come and go to people in particular needs, providing food and emergency funding where necessary. And much more. It's because of giving. And so as a church, we need to discern what God is leading us to, and then we need to resource that mission ourselves. And so giving to the church is giving to God's work. And we have an opportunity. So the R was for resist and the O was for opportunity. And thirdly, the B is for blessing. If you read verse 10 of Malachi chapter 3, it says this: bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room to store it. God gives us a challenge to prove him. And it's the only place in the whole of Scripture this challenge is made to prove him. In other places, of course, there is do not put God to the test. And you have that particularly with the temptations in the wilderness. And so in certain places, it's wrong to put God to the test. But here God says, prove me. Prove me. Can you outgive God? And this is the only realm we are called to seek to prove God. God doesn't want us to do it reluctantly. And God doesn't want us to do it just to sort of like some kind of investment opportunity. I put £5 in, get £50 out. No, this is about proving God's blessings, God's ultimate love for us. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7 says, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Everyone must give according give as his heart has decided, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you look at the Greek of that phrase, it says God loves a hilarious giver. You know, having a good laugh as you give to God. Yes, I can give to God. But there's some principles in that that we need to just look at. Give according to what you have decided in your heart. The heart, the center of who we are. Giving to God according to what we really want to give to God. Not what we feel we have compulsion to do. And that reading from Corinthians says, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So it's not about being forced to give. But it's about being giving according to what your heart does. And if ever you come across a church saying, if you don't give, we will not, then forget that church. This is about giving to God. And it should be done in secret. One of the things about churches like Romford Baptist Church, the pastors do not know who gives what to the church. I have no idea how much anybody gives to the church. That just lies with the treasurer to deal with. I don't know, and I don't want to know. You see, what you're giving is between you and God. And it's what you decide in your heart to give to God. But yes, in Malachi, we are encouraged to give the whole tithe into the storehouse that God can be able to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out the blessing. And so there will be those who say, well, actually, we're not in the Old Testament, we're in the New Testament. We're now under grace, not law. Therefore, tithe should not be preached on. Well, we preach on the whole of Scripture because the Old Testament principles go through to the New Testament. Except in the New Testament, it talks about giving even more because we have been blessed more. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus' teaching says, for where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Give, and it shall be given to you. God cannot be outgiven. And the verse that I mentioned from 2 Corinthians, he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. You remember that story we looked at a while ago now, Ananias and Sapphira, they brought God an offering. They claimed it was one thing and it was another. We need to see God's blessing as something we receive, not because we try to fool God, but we give well to God. So we know not to resist, but have the opportunity to partner with God. And then we receive a blessing, the promised blessing. God is going to pour out a blessing. There will not be enough room to store it. God will not destroy the fruits of your grounds. The vine will not cast fruit before time. Those are great biblical illustrations of what God could do for us. And friends, as we've looked at that acronym, resist opportunity blessing, I want to ask each one of us tonight, what will we bring to God? What will we bring to God's storehouse that God can use to help other lives? And will we allow God to just bless us as we give our whole offering to him? Not our part, our whole. Let me read that verse again. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be no room, not enough room to store it. Then the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord God Almighty. My prayer for you tonight is you just examine your heart. Examine that scripture, particularly from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's not resist. Let's seize the opportunity to partner with God and see how God blesses us. Amen. And so let us pray together. And so, Lord, we do bring ourselves, our lives, our possessions. And Lord, we just imagine them right now in a pile in front of us, and we think about the question, what do we give to you? What do we hold for ourselves? Lord, stir our hearts. Inspire us to decide and learn and discern what we should give to you. And may we, Lord, give you our best. In the name of our Lord and Saviour, we pray. Amen. Our final song, I Surrender. Thank you for being with us at RBC this evening, and God bless you in the week ahead. Do join us if you're a church member on Wednesday. This is so important that you do. Please, can I just encourage you to do this? And now may the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us this night and forevermore. Amen. We listen to that old hymn, "The day thou gavest, Lord, is ended."